Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the course of that war, certainly in recent decades, there have been few who have served with, I think, greater courage, certainly greater effect than our first guest. He is retired U.S. Army four-star General Jack Keane. General Keane has completed his service in uniform, but he continues to serve his country greatly, among other things, as a Fox News national security analyst. You see him repeatedly, happily, on their programming and elsewhere. He's also the chairman of the board for the Institute for the Study of War, and he's an old friend and much admired comrade. Delighted to have you with us. General Keane, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here, Frank. As always, enjoy talking to you and your audience.
Listen, let me, before we get into the content of what I really am anxious to talk with you about, I just want to salute you and, for that matter, the Bradley Foundation for your upcoming recognition on the 3rd of June as one of the winners of their Bradley Prize, which is a distinction that you have certainly deserved, and I'm delighted to see it extended to you in this upcoming ceremony. Congratulations, sir.
Well, thanks, Frank. I really appreciate that. Certainly it's humbling thing to get that kind of recognition. I look forward to the evening and also the other honorees who will be there. Look forward to celebrating their award as well.
Well, the great thing about that program, and I hope everyone will have a chance to catch it at the very least on YouTube, is that it gives the honorees, who are without exception extraordinary people, an opportunity to say a few words. I'm looking forward to your address. But let me talk a little bit about what's going on at the moment. Of course, you served, among other things, as the Vice Chief of Staff of the United States Army, the second highest position in that service. You held command positions for many years and really knew very intimately the challenges of dealing with the Middle East, most especially. And it just must pain you beyond words to see what's happening at the moment in a country that we had liberated with your considerable help, Iraq. Specifically, General, I'd like your thoughts about the apparent conquest, for the moment at least, by this Islamic State outfit of the city, the quite considerable city in Anbar province of Ramadi.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, Frank. It is painful and emotional to deal with it because the sacrifices that our troops made, 4,400 dead and tens of thousands wounded, some of them catastrophically, preparing them for the rest of their lives. And much of what we're seeing with ISIS is hands down absolutely preventable. And that's where the pain is. But, you know, where are we? We have to recognize that ISIS really does have freedom of movement in Syria and in Iraq, despite an air campaign that began, last August. They still have that freedom of movement. They're attacking the Beji oil refinery, contesting that, and likely probably will take it. They're also attacking north of Baghdad this weekend between Baghdad and Samarra. Their terrorist activities inside of Baghdad itself over the last 6 weeks have increased exponentially over what they were for most of last year. And now we see what has taken place in Anbar province as they begin just to consolidate their control of that province, and certainly by taking the provincial capital, a city that at one time, housed about 500,000 people. A lot of them have fled, obviously, because the military operations have been going on there for weeks, and now consolidating control of this provincial capital. So ISIS, despite some of the rhetoric we pick up in Washington from the administration about the advantage we have and how good our operations are going, I mean, I think the American people just looking at this can see that ISIS is not losing, and certainly we are not winning. ISIS has freedom of movement. This is a very formidable organization. We have yet to come together with a strategy that would deal effectively with it. The way I would characterize this strategy, Frank, is it's not enough. We don't have enough arms and weapons for those who we're assisting. We don't have enough trainers and advisors. We don't have enough forward air controllers. We don't have, as you pointed out, we don't have enough direct action forces who are taking down high-value targets like they did in Syria. We should be doing that routinely every night, particularly in Iraq, as we did when we were in Iraq before, and also as we've been doing every night in Afghanistan. And that really puts pressure on the leaders and inhibits their ability to plan and control operations. We don't have enough Apache helicopters. What I'm saying is the strategy is just so fundamentally flawed. And I'm not talking about combat troops on the ground, major formations. I'm talking about assisting the forces that we said we were going to assist, and our strategy is just terribly insufficient. And you can see by the results.
General, let me just ask you about the special operations raid in Syria. That was one of the first, if not the first, that we've acknowledged doing. Should we be talking about these actions? Does that make it harder for our forces to operate in such places where, as you say, they should be with regularity?
The only operations that we should ever discuss is certainly something on the scale and magnitude when we killed Sargawi in Iraq, who was the leader of al-Qaeda in Iraq, when we killed Osama bin Laden. Those should certainly be discussed, but not in any detail. And when we go in and rescue hostages or attempt to rescue hostages, that they certainly can be discussed, particularly if we're able to rescue them. Everything else we should not be talking about. This operation should never have been disclosed whatsoever. We take the information. We did these on average, Frank, 8 to 9 nights, eight to nine operations like this a night in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we never discussed any of them.
And we ran into some serious opposition, I know, in Afghanistan, particularly from the government there when we were doing them. But they were vital, I know, to our successful operations at the time.
And you know, Frank, and the operations were mostly exactly what you saw in Syria. The overwhelming majority of the purpose of the operation is to capture leaders, not kill them. Capture them so that we can gain valuable information and get on with breaking up this network. And that's why these operations are vital. And that's why we're willing to put the, you know, in this case, our elite Delta Force and 160th Army Aviation on the ground and take that kind of risk, because the capture is so vital to us in terms of the intelligence.
General, let me switch gears very quickly because we're going to run out of time here very quickly. Your thoughts on the Iran deal the president is working up and the implications that you foresee for the region if, in fact, it turns out, as it seems to be likely to do, as a green light for an Iranian nuclear weapon.
This deal comes from the president and reflects his arrogance and also his naiveness. His arrogance in the sense that he has ignored his Israelis, our closest ally, and ignored the counsel of our Sunni Arab friends, who know the Iranians better than we do, who've been dealing with them in the region. And the fact is, they know this is a bad deal. We're leaving in place relatively their entire nuclear infrastructure, and in 10 years' time, they have permission actually to have a nuclear weapon. It's naive because the president believes that by making this framework and this final deal, that somehow in the next 10 years, the Iranians would join the community of the nations in the region and behave like a rational actor. Nobody believes that. So what is happening, Frank, is as we speak, Saudi Arabia is making arrangements to acquire nuclear weapons. They are moving in that direction because they know Iran is going to come out of this deal with a threshold capability, and they're going to cheat on the inspections, and they're going to be able to move very quickly to nuclear capability. And secondly, they're going to get a windfall of money that is going to enable them to execute and increase their proxy wars that they're conducting in the region.
To the detriment of not just the Saudis, but all of us. General, we have to leave it at that. We're going to talk a little bit more shortly about these issues with Mark Schneider, you may remember from the Pentagon. But I really appreciate your insights on both the sort of conduct of the war, such as we're waging it, and the mistakes that we're making across a broad front, and their implications for all of us. Sir, again, congratulations on the Bradley Prize on June 3rd and for all of the work you're doing, including notably at Fox News. Thank you for coming and visiting with us from time to time here at Secure Freedom Radio. We'll talk with you again soon. Gunter Jakeli joins us next on Jihad Against Jews in Europe. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.